Chapter 10. An Oath and a Promise. The warding lantern, or what was left of it, shone with a steady light. It sat amid the filth of the corrupted realm gate, its silvery frame bent and twisted out of shape. Even now, damaged beyond belief, it shone with the light of Azir. The six smiths had no equal, save the Dwardin god, Grunyi, when it came to the crafting of weapons and tools.
"The Rotbringers succeeded in opening the realm gate, but only briefly," Morbus said, "for which we should be thankful. If it had stayed open any longer, it would have vomited forth more than just filthy water and a few half-made demons."
"Why only briefly?" Gardas asked, circling the black waters of the realm gate. Where once it might have glowed with the reflected light of the heavens, it was now opaque and reeking. Turgid waves lapped at the crumbling sargassum, expanding the circumference of the lake with every undulation.
"Did Loras interrupt them?" "Yes, but I doubt that's the whole of it."
Morbus indicated the softly glowing lantern.
"The warding lantern. Its light keeps the pox waters at bay so long as Grim lives."
He sank to his haunches and poked at the muck-encrusted beacon.
"In time, it might even cleanse this place. Unfortunately, time is a luxury we cannot afford. If this gate has been corrupted, it must be closed forever."
He looked at Gardas, his gaze unreadable.
"Nurgle cannot be allowed another foothold in this realm."
"And what of Loras, then? Or Kaya? Or Osric? What of our brothers and sisters?" Gardas gestured to the lantern.
"If it still glows, they must still live." "He is gone. They are gone. Lost to the garden."
Morbus shook his head.
"Nothing not of chaos could survive that for long."
"I did," Gardas said. Morbus looked at him.
"Yes.
So too might they." Morbus looked down at the bubbling froth.
"Grim is not Gardas. The others are not Gardas. They cannot survive."
"I was not Gardas once."
Gardas let his hand rest on the hilt of his runeblade.
"And perhaps Gardas might vanish entirely come some future calamity. But I am here now, and I say that they might yet live."
"And what of it?" Angstun asked.
The knight Vexilor shook his head.
"Their survival might be measured in moments, or eternities. The realms of chaos are madness manifest. You might arrive before they do, or centuries after they've perished."
He looked at Gardas.
"You have only just returned to us, and the Lord Castellan will not thank you for throwing your life away merely to save his."
Gardas said nothing. Angstun was right. Grim would not thank him. He would berate him instead. Call him a fool. And it was foolish. To even contemplate such an act was a thing of hubris greater than any he knew of. And yet, the thought of leaving the souls of his warriors in such a place was equally unbearable.
"Is the realm gate stable?" Gardas asked.
Morbus nodded after a moment's hesitation.
"Whatever was done to it has stabilized it. It will remain open unless I close it. But the longer it does so, the harder it will be to close. In time, it will be beyond even my abilities."
"How much time?" Morbus shrugged.
"Hours, days, years. Such things are impossible to predict."
Kurunta laughed.
"It is chaos. That's its nature."
The Night Heralder shook his head.
"So long as it's quiescent, it shouldn't be much of a problem."
He stepped back as the jellied waters stirred, lapping lazily at the floor. He lifted his warhorn.
"One good tune will bring this chamber down and destroy the portal with it. But say the word, Lord Celestant, and I shall play a merry refrain."
"No," Gardas gestured sharply, "not yet." He found himself casting back to Sigmaron and the Sepulchre of the Faithful, to Ramus of the Shadowed Soul and the burden he carried. to know that his lord Celestine might yet persist, suffering in captivity, while he could do nothing. Much was demanded of those to whom much had been given. But when the demands began to outweigh the gifts, what was one to do? Ramus had asked him the same question, and Gardas had had no answer then either. A shout from the entrance to the chamber drew his attention. He turned and saw a chained Rotbringer stumble and sink to his knees in the muck. Three winged figures surrounded him, their hands on their weapons.
"What is this?" Gardas said.
"Kadok, I have warned you about your offerings, Knight Azeros."
"Not mine, Steel Soul, not this time," Kadok Kel said, sinking to one knee before him. "This foolishness is his."
He gestured sharply to Taunus. The Knight Venator bowed his head.
"He is speaking true, Lord Celestine."
He caught the back of the Rotbringer's twisted helmet and dragged his head back. Gardas knew a warrior of chaos when he saw one. This one appeared to be on his last legs, given the state of him.
"This is being my burden and request, to be sparing the life of this wretched creature."
"I don't understand," Gardas said.
He looked at Enyo, wondering if she could shed some light on whatever this was about. The Steel Soul's Knight Venator shook her head. Gardas turned back to Taunus.
"Explain, and quickly."
"He is surviving the light of Azir," Taunus said, simply.
Gardas stared at him, wondering if he'd misheard.
"That is not possible."
"I am surviving the light of Azir before."
Taunus met Gardas's gaze.
"Before I am being Taunus again, I am being a greater monster than this one, I am thinking, and I am surviving. Light calls to light, yes? Is that not being the way of it?"
Gardas shook his head and looked to Morbus, hoping he had an answer. But the Lord Relictor stared silently at Taunus in what might have been consternation. Gardas turned back to the Knight Venator.
"I don't know," he said, finally. "You were cleansed, but that is no guarantee."
He trailed off, wondering at his own words. He gestured to Kadok.
"He survived your beacon's gaze."
Kadok shrugged.
"Evidently. Myself, I would burn him again until it takes, but the Redeemed One refused that mercy on his behalf."
He glanced at the Knight Venator.
"Perhaps he still feels some kinship with such creatures. Who can say?"
Taunus visibly bristled, but held his tongue. Gardas waved Kadok to silence as Morbus stepped forward. The Lord Relictor extended his staff.
"Your soul was freed when Torglug's body was destroyed by the touch of Galmaraz, wielded by the hand of the Celestine Prime."
Gardas felt, rather than heard, the intake of breath from the assembled stormcasts at the mention of the first and greatest of their kind. He was nothing less than the Storm of Sigmar itself, bearer of the World Hammer and the Light of Azir, carried into the darkness. Resplendent in the first and finest suit of Sigmarite warplate to be forged, he hurtled forth on blazing wings, wrapped in chains of lightning and purpose. From what he knew of the Battle of the Blackstone Summit, it was only the arrival of the Celestine Prime that had turned the tide in favor of the Stormcasts and Sylvaneth. Torglug had nearly claimed Alariel's soul pod when the first Stormcast fell upon him like a thunderbolt. Torglug had perished in that moment, and what was left of him had ascended to Azir, to be reforged on the anvil of Apotheosis. He looked at Taunus. What changes had his reforging wrought upon him? Could he in some way sense the embers of humanity in a fallen foe? Or was this merely wishful thinking? He hesitated. Was this what Sigmar had meant when he'd mentioned the foundations of what was to come? Taunus was the first. There would be others. Was this creature one such? Was it a brother to be?
"What is he called?" he asked.
"I am Gatrog,"
the Rotbringer croaked,
Lord Duke of Festerthane, and true knight of the most blithesome order of the fly. Release me. Give me a sword. If you mean my death, let it be an honorable one.
Festerthane, Morbus said. One of the seven blighted duchies. A tumor in the body of the Jade Kingdoms.
Aye, and an old and respected tumor we are. We have always fought, and will do so until the last flower withers. For Nurgle and the realm desolate.
Gatrog tried to get to his feet, but Kadok forced him back down.
Give me a sword. Even one of these flimsy ones you carry will do. I will fight you all, one at a time, or all at once. It makes no difference. I will show you how a lord of Festerthane dies.
He was brave. That much Gardas would admit. But bravery by itself was no sign that one was capable of redemption. Gardas had fought many servants of the Dark Gods, and few of them could be called cowards. Yet, if this creature had endured the light, it might mean that there was more to his valor than simple animal courage. Remove his helmet, Gardas said. I wish to see the face of our enemy. Taunus stooped and pried the filth-encrusted helmet loose. The ancient scabs lining the gorget burst, weeping clear pus and oily blood as the helmet slid upwards. The face within had clearly once been a man's, but not for some time. Blisters and leaking sores rose out of mounds of scabbed-over flesh, and what hair was in evidence was colourless and lank. One eye was as opaque as the waters of the Realm Gate, while the other looked as if it had been boiled. Yet Gardas knew that the warrior could see him clearly. A ruined slash of a mouth twisted up into a smile.
I am handsome, am I not?
No, Gardas said. Gatrog gave a gurgling laugh.
Then I am in good company.
Kadok growled and drove a boot into the Rotbringer's side. Gatrog wheezed and nearly toppled over. Gardas gestured sharply. Leave him, Kadok. His tone brooked no argument, and the knight Azeroth stepped back, head bent in contrition. Gardas looked down at Gatrog.
Look at me.
Gatrog did, a sneer on his malformed features. That sneer faded as Gardas let the light within him blaze forth. Gatrog winced. Yellowish tears streamed from his eyes as he twisted away. Gardas reached up and removed his own helmet. He hung the helmet from his belt and then caught Gatrog's chin. He forced the Rotbringer's face up.
Look at me, I said.
No,
Gatrog snarled, trying to twist away from him. Thin wisps of smoke rose from his scabrous features as Gardas gazed down at him.
Get your filthy hands off me!
Gardas looked into the Rotbringer's eyes, seeking a sign. Gatrog tried to meet his gaze and failed. He made again to pull away. He was afraid, not of death, but something else. Gardas didn't know how he knew, but he did. Gatrog was afraid.
I will give you a sword, Gardas said, softly.
Gatrog's eyes widened.
But first, you will swear an oath, Gardas said.
Gatrog blinked back tears.
I'll swear no oath to a silver-skinned lubberwort.
Gardas reached down and gripped the chains that bound the Rotbringer. He jerked the bloated warrior to his feet with no sign of effort.
You will, or I will strike your head from your shoulders here and now.
Better death than bondage,
Gatrog spluttered. But the undercurrent of fear was still there. Gardas wondered at that. What did such creatures see in the light that he did not? Taunus might know, but he hesitated to pose such a question.
Says the slave to the free soul.
Gardas pulled him close.
An oath. Your life for the oath of but a moment. You will serve us until such time as I grant you your freedom.
and then you will be free to die as you choose.
And what is this service that you require?
Gatrog grunted, squinting against the glare.
Shall I best some foe for you, or hunt a questing beast? For those are my only skills.
He twisted away, blinking.
What do you want?
You have the look of one who has been to the garden.
Gatrog said. I won my spurs fairly in its noisome lens.
Good. I require a guide.
A guide?
Gatrog stared at him through slitted eyes.
You would go into the garden? You are either especially brave or mad.
Neither, Gardas said. Merely determined.
You actually want me to lead you through the garden?
Gatrog threw back his head and laughed.
Give me a sword and bare your neck if you're so eager to die.
Do you swear? Gardas said. His light swelled. The water bubbled around him, and a rivet on Gatrog's armor burst as if from a sudden heat.
I swear,
Gatrog said, turning away. On your honor as a knight, Gardas continued, relentless. Gatrog's head snapped around, eyes narrowed.
Yes. Fie on thee, yes! On my honor as a true knight, I'll guide you where you wish to go.
Taunus watched in astonishment as Gardas let the Rotbringer slump to his knees.
You are to be sparing him, then? He asked.
That is what you wished, Gardas said. His aura had faded somewhat, dwindling to a soft glow. He looked at Taunus, his expression calm. Isn't it? Taunus nodded.
I am to be thanking you, Lord Celestant.
Do not thank me, Taunus. This may yet prove to be a mistake on both our parts.
He gripped Taunus's shoulder.
I leave him in your hands for the moment.
He turned away to speak to Angston and the others, leaving Taunus looking down at the kneeling Rotbringer. Gatrog's bravado had melted away beneath Gardas's attention. His head was bowed, and he mumbled what might have been prayers. Taunus shivered, knowing well who the Chaos Knight was praying to. Morbus joined him. Taunus glanced sidelong at the Lord Relictor, wondering what he wanted. Morbus studied him for long moments.
Your soul was fractured. Now it is whole. Truly a blessing from Sigmar.
Yes,
Taunus said, uncertain as to what the other stormcast meant.
You hope to see lightning strike twice?
Morbus looked down at Gatrog.
Is it being so impossible?
No, but we lack a crucial element.
Morbus gestured.
I do not see the Celestant Prime in evidence. Do you?
Taunus turned away.
The Rotbringer is being frightened, he said, avoiding the question.
Compassion can be as terrible in its own way as cruelty, Morbus said. And Gardas's compassion even more so. Like the light of Azir, it burns without judgment or hatred, but it burns all the same, and few can bear its light.
He still lives, Taunus said.
No. He persists.
Morbus looked at Taunus.
As you persisted. A perversion of the natural order, skewed all out of joint and made monstrous.
He shook his head.
There is a point where resignation and stoicism are warped into an unholy perseverance, a refusal to accept what must come, while at the same time losing all hope as to a worthy ending. That is the point where our enemy raises his walls and erects his towers. You fell to it as this one did. Your refusal to die when all hope fled brought you to ruin.
Taunus, confused, shook his head.
You are saying we are to be surrendering?
No.
Only that we must recognize the difference between acceptance and surrender. All things have their season. All things have a beginning and an ending. To cast that aside is to deny the natural order.
I was once knowing much of seasons, Tornus said.
He realized that he could recall the life wells, but only dimly, as if they had been seen by someone else in another place and time.
He was Tornus again, but not the same.
I was once feeling the turning of the leaves in my heart. Now I am feeling only the storm.
Morbus looked at him.
And this too shall pass. Storms have their ending, as all things do. The stars burn out, suns go dark, and storms pass. Only death does not die.
So long as there is being life, Tornus said, looking at the Lord Relictor.
For a moment, Morbus's voice had had an odd resonance, one that chilled him to the marrow. But the feeling passed quickly as Morbus looked away. Tornus cleared his throat.
I am being sorry for when I am trying to be killing you.
Morbus gave a dry, hoarse laugh.
You will forgive me if I do not tender my own apologies.
He looked at the Knight Venator, and Tornus was relieved to see the humor in his gaze.
Still, that was in another kingdom, and Torglog is dead.
He bent his staff so that its charms and prayer scrolls thumped against Tornus's armor.
You are who you are, and Sigmar would not have sent you to us if there was not reason.
The ferrule of Angstone standard striking the ground filled the chamber. The Knight Vexilor struck the ground twice more, drawing all eyes.
The Lord Celestant wishes to speak, he said.
Given his tone, Tornus suspected he didn't approve of what Gardas was about to say. Gardas, helmet tucked under one arm, shot a bemused glance at his subordinate.
Thank you, Angstone.
The Lord Celestant looked around.
I intend to enter the Realm Gate and follow its path wherever it leads. Our brethren are somewhere on the other side, and I would find them and bring them back.
He spoke softly. Nonetheless, his voice carried, echoing through the chamber.
I will not command you to follow me, he continued. I would not sacrifice us all on the altar of my hubris, but I will not abandon Loras and the others to the horrors of that place, not while even the slightest hope yet remains.
He looked around at the gathered warriors.
Without hope, we are no better than the enemy. You cannot go alone, Morbus said. No. I go to make war on a god. It would be preferable if I did so in good company.
Gardas's smile was crooked.
I will not command you, but I will ask you. Those who wish to join me may do so. No shame will fall upon those who do not. This is, as Angstone and Morbus have so respectfully reminded me, a fool's errand. It is thus fitting that only the foolish should attempt it.
A small ripple of laughter greeted these words. Tornus wondered at it. Among the gleaming host, humor was often seen as a sign of a lack of discipline. Laughter wasn't proper equipment for the battlefield, but for the steel souls, it seemed to function almost as a shield against the dark. Humor, like faith, was their armor. The laughter faded soon enough as the import of Gardas's words sank in. Stormcast looked at one another, waiting to see who would go first.
I will go,
Cadoc Kell growled, pushing his way through the throng.
What better soul to feed to the fire than that of a false god? My beacon shall light your way, Lord Celestant.
And I, Enyo said, you will need my bow.
My thanks to you both, Gardas said.
Aisha's Shieldborn cleared his throat.
We have decided. We shall accompany you, and our retinues as well.
The Liberator Prime gestured to Solus and Pheros. Tegras of the Sainted Eye landed behind the Liberator Prime and set a hand on his shoulder.
And I, also. You will need eyes in whatever passes for the sky there. We stood beside you at the gates of dawn, Steel Soul, and we shall not abandon you here, Pheros rumbled.
The Retributor Prime leaned on the haft of his lightning hammer.
Besides, it sounds as if it'll be a fight worth the name, and I'd not miss it. What say you, Solus?
He glanced at the Judicator Prime.
Solus shrugged. Someone has to keep these three out of trouble.
Gardas laughed.
Well said.
A deluge of voices followed. Individual warriors pledging warblade and hammer to their Lord Celestin's service. Gardas seemed at once pleased and saddened, Tornus thought.
What about you, redeemed one? Will you test your new forged soul in good cause?
Kadok said, startling him. The Knight Azeroth glared at him challengingly, and he wasn't alone in his challenge. Tornus looked around, feeling suddenly very isolated. Before he could reply, Gardas held up a hand.
That was in poor spirit, Kadok.
He looked at Tornus.
I would not ask you to come, Tornus. Further proof of your worthiness is not required, brother.
You do not have to be asking,
Tornus said, haltingly. He gazed at the slick surface of the water beyond the Lord Celestant and felt something inside him twist painfully. But he met Gardas's eyes and nodded.
Two bows are being better than one. And you are putting this one in my responsibility.
He gestured to Gatrog, who still knelt in silence.
Someone is having to be watching him, yes?
Gardas smiled.
Yes, and I'm glad to have you.
He extended his hand, and Tornus caught it firmly. He felt Kadok's eyes burning into him, but ignored the Knight Azeroth.
As touching as this is, the likelihood of any of you returning is slim, Morbus said. If we die on the other side of that realm gate, we will not return to the forges of Azir. We will be lost, or worse.
Gardas looked at him.
Perhaps you should stay. The chamber still needs a commander. It has two, Morbus said, gesturing to Angston and Korunta.
Both began to protest, but he silenced them with a glare.
Korunta must stay in order to seal this chamber, should the worst happen. And Angston must stay to obliterate this citadel and everything in it in the event Korunta fails.
The Lord Relictor looked at them.
Do you understand? If we fail, you will know, for every rot-bellied demon in that realm will attempt to repay our insult 100-fold. They will not stop.
He thumped the ground with his reliquary staff.
With the fall of the Genesis Gate, Nurgle's grasp on this realm has been weakened. This portal, if left unchecked, would see him in control once more. It must be destroyed.
But not by you, Gardas said.
Morbus looked at him.
My first duty is to safeguard the souls of every warrior in this chamber, and I will do so, even if they are intent on walking into the maw of chaos itself.
He straightened, his skull helm gleaming eerily in the watery light of the realm gate.
May Sigmar preserve us, faithful and fools alike.